The verse of scripture that I would like us to consider together tonight is found in the book of John, in the verse 29. And that verse simply states, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." As we consider this text, I trust that the Holy Spirit will apply its truths to each of our hearts, and that we will be drawn closer even to Him. The first truth that we see through this verse is that the whole world is blighted with sin. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden made a very fatal mistake in choosing to obey the words of Satan over the words of their God. They did not only plunge themselves into a state of spiritual death and darkness and bondage, but also every generation from that time forth that was born into this world is born in a state of spiritual darkness and a spiritual death. We are unable to know God. We are unable to serve God. We are unable to do anything that is pleasing towards Him. We read in Psalm 53 in the verses 1 through 3, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and they have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there be any that did understand and that did seek God. Every one is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." This verse describes the natural conditions of each of us as we are born into this world. There are many in this world that do not care or know do not understand. There are many in this world who do not care, do know or understand why we are here. But there are those that do have a concern and a desire to understand why we have been sent into this world. The first question of the Shorter Catechism reads, "What is the chief end of man?" And the answer to that is simply, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And this is man's chief end, and this is the purpose that each of us should be aiming for in our lives. This should be the goal of every man, woman, and child. But the truth of the matter is that it is not. The reason that it is not is because we are natural rebels against God. We do not want to spend our time and effort and energy seeking to glorify God. But why would we? What would it benefit us? This is the question, or this is the people of today, even ones that they come along, they work to you. What's in it for us? Or what will it benefit us seeking God? And this is a question perhaps that they will be asking. Perhaps they do not. There are those here tonight and you want to know the truth of the matter. Perhaps you've been seeking God for years, but it is as if God is not interested in you. You try hard, you go to church every Sunday, you attend every meeting that the church holds, you try to be a good person, you pray every day, you have a fear of God, but yet you still have not experienced that inner peace that passeth all understanding. As John the Baptist thundered out the gospel in his day, there was a realization among the people of their sin. God, through the Holy Spirit, had opened their eyes to these blinded people. This question has to be asked, why were these people who were the most blessed people on the earth still dwelling in darkness and still were not saved? The reason is because those that had the responsibility of preaching the gospel had dropped the standard. They were no longer preaching a gospel of faith alone through Christ alone, but they had developed a new gospel. Instead of pointing people to God through a coming Christ, the religious leaders of the day had developed a religious system which pointed God pointed people to God through a religious system whose head was not Christ, whose head was man. The Roman Catholic Church adopted a very similar system which was used to keep the people of this world in a state of spiritual darkness for hundreds of years until God raised up mighty men of God who once again preached the gospel with power, and the light of the glorious gospel shone forth with great splendor and with great power. Satan hates the true gospel, and he will do all in his power to destroy it and stop it from spreading throughout this world. Now that we have an understanding that we are all born into this world in a state of spiritual darkness, and we have now see that Satan seeks to keep us in this state by what means possible, I now would seek to point you to the one that can free you from your bondage of sin, the only one that can give you true peace. And this second truth that I would like us to see from this text tonight is Jesus Christ and the Lamb of God. Shortly after Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, We see God beginning to show us that there was a way out of their falling estate. When Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, their eyes were opened and they realized that they were naked. And to cover their nakedness, they made for themselves aprons of fig leaves. This nakedness is a picture of the sinner before a holy and righteous God. And the aprons made from fig leaves is a man's attempt to cover his shame and nakedness before God. As you read on down that account in the book of Genesis, you will come to verse 21, where we read, Adam took also unto himself Eve, and did to the Lord, I'll read that again. When we read, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. We have here in this verse a picture of what Christ would do for his people. Christ's death on the cross at Calvary covers our nakedness of our sin. It covers the shame and guilt of our sin. And the Old Testament is full of shadows and pictures of Christ. And all that is found in the book of Genesis chapter 22 and the verse 1 to 13. And that's the passage that we had just read. In this passage of Scripture, God commands Abraham to sacrifice his only son as a burnt offering. The thought of Abraham killing and then burning his only son on the altar might be hard for us to bear. But what about the thought of God killing his only begotten son on the cross at Calvary and pouring out our just wrath upon him for 3 hours when God turned out the lights of this world for that duration of that time? Such was the suffering of Christ and the pains and the agonies that he experienced. God did not let man see it. He turned out the lights of this world for 3 hours and poured out our just wrath upon our Saviour. We will never ever come close to understanding what our Saviour went through that day. As we read on down the passage, we see a substitute was provided. God commanded Abraham not to harm the boy because he had provided a ram for a sacrifice instead. Again, we have a picture of what Christ has done for each of us. Again, we have a picture of what God has done for us in the past and what God was going to do for those in the Old Testament in the future. God, through Christ, provided a sacrifice for our sins in order that we might be set free from our sin. Just as God provided a ram in order that Isaac might be set free, God has provided the Lamb of God for us, each of us, that we might be set free from our sin. I would like you also to notice how the lamb was caught. The lamb was caught in the thicket of the horn. He was caught in the thicket by his horns. And if we cast our thoughts forward to the point where our Saviour, as they mocked him and scorned him, they placed that cruel crown of thorns upon his head. And here we see even a picture of this ram and how that was caught in the thickets of the thorns was caught. It was caught in the thorn, the thicket, and how that they placed this crown of thorns upon our Saviour. The Old Testament is full of these different pictures that points us forward to our Saviour. Finally, I would like us to notice Abraham's faith in the verses 7 to 8. And Isaac spake, in the verses 7 to 8 we read, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both of them went together. How it was to have grieved Abraham as he thought of killing his only son. A great, and yet this verse we see Abraham's remarkable faith in the word of God. Abraham knew that God had promised him that through his seed the world would be blessed. And he knew that Isaac was the son of promise. And I am sure there was a battle going on within Abraham's mind when God called him to sacrifice his son Isaac. But the answer that he gave to his son shows us that he was leaning upon the word of God and not leaning upon his own thoughts and understanding. And what a great lesson each of us can learn here today, especially those saved, that we must lean and trust in the word of God and it alone and not lean on our own understanding. How often our own thoughts and understanding, no matter what the circumstances is, how often they lead us astray. But we must learn to lead in the word of God and lean on it alone. How often we're guilty of this sin, the sin of unbelief. We weigh things up in our own minds and we understand and forsake the word of God. Perhaps you hear the voice of the Saviour speaking to your weary soul tonight, and yet you fight and resist the Saviour. You do not trust the promises of his word. And when he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest." This is the promise of the Saviour, that if we come to him, he will give our weary souls rest and peace. The final truth that I would like us to consider is how that we receive the rest of God. As John the Baptist simply pointed his followers to the person of Christ, and so I do the same. Forgiveness of sins is received through simply putting our faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we realize that we are born into this world as natural sinners against a holy and righteous God, when we realize that we are unable to do anything about our falling and sinful condition, when we stand before God in a state of spiritual nakedness, when we are broken, when we are weary, when we are lost. And if this is how you feel, my friend, this is the best day of your life. When the God of heaven begins to draw you on to himself, when he begins to open your eyes and let you see your condition, my friend, this is the best day of your life. I simply point you to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Get your eyes fixed upon the Saviour as he drove them cruel nails into his hands and into his feet. Do you see his agony and his pain as he suffered on that cruel tree at Calvary? Do you see that it was for your sins that he suffered and bled and died? It was by simple faith that Abraham trusted in God that in one day God would provide a lamb that would atone for his sins. It was by simple faith that Abraham was able to tell his son that God would provide a lamb for a sacrifice. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 and the verses 8 to 10, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, and as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Perhaps you're afraid tonight here, and that if you give your life to Christ, you're afraid of what might happen. You're afraid of your family or what your family are saying. You're afraid maybe perhaps of what your friends will say. I can understand exactly how you feel. And not so long ago, 2011, I went through the same battle that you're faced with here tonight. I can remember very well the time in my life when God began to call me and draw my weary soul onto him. I battled and fought against him until I no longer had strength to fight. As the deceiver whispered his lies in my ear, I was torn between giving my life to Christ or continuing to serve Satan. And that is the great reality of the situation that we are faced with. We either serve Satan or we save our risen Saviour. We read in James chapter 4 and the verse 4, "Ye adulterers, ye adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." If we can continue in our sin, which is but for a season, which will eventually carry you to a lost eternity in hell, or we can give up, or we can give our life simply over to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and he will bless you exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. We read in the book of Hebrews that Abraham looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Abraham's eyes were not fixed on the material things of this world, but they were fixed on the world to come, that heavenly city that each of us that are born again, true saints of God, we will one day dwell and sing praises to our Saviour forever. And this is the land that Abraham had his eyes fixed upon. And we read, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3 in the verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Again in Romans chapter 5 in the verse 12, we read, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." And there is no two ways about this. We are all born into this world in a state of sin, and God's wrath rests upon each and every one of us. We read in Romans chapter 6 and the verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Sin carries with it a very heavy penalty. And this is the reason why the spotless, perfect Son of God had to leave the splendors of heaven and come to this old sin-cursed world to hang on that cross. Because God would accept nothing else except that perfect sacrifice, such as the marrying, such as the heavy penalty and the consequences of sin. God has given each of us the gift of salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment we put our trust and faith in him, we receive the gift of eternal life. From that very moment, we become children of God. Romans chapter 5 and the verse 8, "But God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we were born, ever born into this world, God knew you. He knew every sin that you would ever commit against him. And Christ's death on the cross is sufficient to cover every single one of them sins. And there's not a single sin that you have committed or will commit that God's blood or the blood of the Lamb will not cleanse you from. Because God knew you about everything, and because God knew you about everything that you will go through before you were ever saved. And because he knew every sin that you would commit before our Savior went to the cross at Calvary." Romans chapter 9 and the verse 10, we read in that, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." These last two verses again show us the simplicity of salvation. We must simply call upon the Lamb of God with simple faith, trusting that he will save us. And that's all to it. There's no complications. Just simply putting our trust in the Savior. Believing in thine heart that Christ died for your sins, and that on the third day he rose again and is now seated at the right hand of God. And I trust that if God has been perhaps speaking to your soul here tonight, that you will not leave this meeting tonight until you get right with the Savior. Or perhaps if you are struggling with your sins, go home and just place your trust in the Lord. Or if you want to speak to anyone, I'm sure our brother John here will be happily have a word with you, or myself, and will simply point you to the Savior. Get your eyes fixed upon the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen.